Our star guest today is an absolute legendary artist in the US. As well as performing in her own right, she's been the vocal coach to some of the greatest singers in the world, including Liza Minnelli. She also happens to be the grandmother of another of our recent star guests, Nicholas King. So, keeping it in the family, Angela Beccari, welcome to Read on the Radio and Community Connections.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Let's go right back to the beginning when you were a girl. Music's always been in your blood, hasn't it? In your psyche?
Yes, I was born with it, and when I was a little girl, I probably 5, 6 years old, my mom started taking me downtown to the local radio station called Buddy and the Gang, and she dressed me in these little gowns, and I'd stand up on a stool to reach the microphone, and there was a piano player, and there were other singers there too, and I'd sing from when I was really little, and she'd take me to the nearby drugstore for ice cream after. So that's my first engagements, and those are the memories I have.
Were your family musical before you, or were you the first?
No, not really. There was like little voices here and there, but not really. So there was an auntie that I think she sang more opera, but never pursued anything. It's just me.
You were performing then at school, were you? Did you get encouragement from your teachers, or was it something you did more in your spare time?
Yeah, it was more in my spare time, not, I did a couple of plays in school where I sang a little bit, but nothing big from them as opposed to the private lessons my mom sent me to, which was the gift because the gentleman that I studied with, I was 12 when I started. He studied in Italy and he was from this my hometown. He had a technique that of course is very well known today now, but he had a technique that he taught me that I never ever really lost my voice or sang incorrectly because of him. And I was young and I passed that on to Nicholas. And then the other gentleman that I sort of made a star, Billy Gilman, and he was a country western star. And he was only 12 when I got him his first big hit in Nashville. But all the way I taught them is the way I was taught. And your voice never goes away. I mean, you sing correctly. The technique is very important. Very.
You've become such a well-known vocal coach since then, but were you performing, first of all? Were you treading the boards? Were you doing cabaret? Or did you take the vocal coach and sort of do a bit in between? Did it all come together at the same time?
Well, the vocal coach came later on in my career when I kind of moved back here to Rhode Island from New York area. No, I was singing all over the place. I sang everywhere. I started out with the William Morris Agency, and I was fortunate to get signed, and they got me hooked up with, I think his first name was Billy Rizzo, if I remember that. Where's that coming from? But yeah, Billy Rizzo, who was the booker for the very well-known Playboy clubs. And back in that day, they were very popular. If you got a job there, you were all over the place. And in order to succeed in a Playboy club against the bunnies and that were walking around serving everybody, you had to really know what you're doing to catch the attention of all the gentlemen in the audience. So I learned a lot doing that Playboy circuit in the beginning. And then one thing led to another, and I got to do all the clubs all over the different cities. And then I had my own band and I traveled with them. So it was just two shows a week, two shows a night, 6 nights a week for so long.
You said that you had your own band. I'm really fascinated by that because were you then managing your bookings? You were driving around. You just had to do everything yourself. And were you the manager? Did you see yourself as the manager of the band?
No, well, I was the head leader of the band. What happened is, as I was doing the Playboy circuit, I met this young guy. We ended up getting married. I had already been married and had my kids, but now I was single. So I married this guy, and we were married for quite a few years. And he was my arranger, conductor, pianist, and we just started to travel everywhere. And we hired these young musicians to travel with us. So, and I had about 6 or 7 musicians plus 2 girl singers. You know how it was in those days, and I just had a great show. And then one day I was at home in New Jersey where I was living, and the phone rang, and I said hello, and he said, "Hi, this is Rodney Dangerfield." And I went, "Yeah, and I'm the Queen of Sheba," and I hung up, right? And all of a sudden the phone rings again, and he went, "Hello." I went, "All right, now." He got, Angela, wait a minute." And he mentions the name of our agent. He had the same agent I did in William Morris. I went, "Oh my gosh, Rodney, I'm so sorry." I said, "I just didn't expect." He said, "Oh, I know, I know, I understand. Listen. And he, "Now listen, I heard about you. Everybody raves about you, so I have to come and see you. Are you working?" I went, "Yeah, I'm in a club on Route 46 in New Jersey Saturday night. I'll be there. Save me a seat, ringside." I went, "Oh my God, you know." Well, so he comes, and he sits ringside, and just so riding, sitting in. Long story short, he ended up, accepting me and taking me and my entire band to the Tropicana Hotel in Las Vegas for 2 weeks. So after the end of 2 weeks, he said, "You can't go home. You got to stay here and finish out the months I'm here." I went, "I can't. I have two children." He goes, "I got kids too. We'll just fly them down." I flew my kids down. He flew his kids, and he took me on the Merv Griffin show. And I mean, there's nothing that man wouldn't do for me. I had the best time. That was the best time.
Your life changed on that telephone call.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And then I had a little hit record too. I call it little. It was the disco Baby I'm Yours. So that was with RCA. So that helped me too. I was very, very fortunate,
How did it feel when you were traveling around the country? Because not only are you having to perform, you're having to relocate every so often to somewhere else. And I guess you've got the family, as you were saying, with you, but your mind is sort of on the children and on the work and other people that are with you. How were you able to adapt to that?
I just did it, It was just my focus was where it had to be for the moment. And I always remembered that when it came showtime, the minute my foot touched the beginning of the stage, the switch went off in my head, and there I was, and it was the focus. So I was able to adjust myself for the situation I was in at the time. And that I don't know how I got that, but I remember being young and saying how the stage, how the show must go on regardless. I was taught that the show must go on regardless. And I never forgot that. And I just remember I have an obligation as a mother, but I have an obligation on that stage to that audience. And the people that hired me, of course, but to the audience especially, I wanted to, make them leave happy. And so that's how my mind was. I don't know how, I think about it now in my age, and I still do it. I still perform, but not to the extent that I did. I pick and choose. So when I go, I enjoy it and just have some fun. I am 82 years old.
Do you think then the work you've done and the people you've met with and how much you love your life is what's keeping you young?
I think so because yeah, I'm active, and I keep active. And I the more I'm active, the more I think better. If we're not active, we start thinking, I'm old, oh dear, what's coming, I try not to think about that. That's very painful when you do. And I've seen a lot of people that do that. And I still have my voice. I still sing in my same keys. When I was doing all that work, I never drank. I was boring. I never drank. I never smoked. I never did any drugs or anything like that. I was extremely protective of my throat, of my vocal cords. And I always, I, and when I tell students to this day, what do you see, say, a guitar player do at the end of a gig? He takes that guitar and he puts it in a case and he protects it, doesn't he? So we have to do the same thing. We're not going to finish a gig, go out in the middle of the club where it's noisy and everything, have a drink or a smoke and talk with the people after you just sang for hours on this little tiny little vocal cord. And I've instilled that in Nicholas and my daughter, of course. And of course, Liza, I did the best I could with Liza.
Let's talk then about your vocal coach work. And you've mentioned the absolute legend that is Liza Minnelli. You've worked with some of the great names over the years. What was it that made you want to expand into vocal coach as well as performing?
Was like an accident, actually. I just used to hear people sing and say, "Oh my gosh, I just know I could fine-tune that. I just know it." It was what I was taught, and I just know I can help them. So that's how I started. I mean, when I started with Billy, he was I knew the minute that kid walked in my house, he was going to be a star. He was gifted with this voice that was unbelievable. And I just said, "Well, we you're not going to do anything until I'm going to tell you you're ready. I'm going to fix your voice. I'm going to develop it so that you can last a lifetime." And that's what I did. I worked hard with him. So when I started doing that, other students were hearing it, so they wanted to come into my studio and work with me. But I only took people that I knew I could help. I just never wasted my time or their time and money on just a lesson. I only work with people that were extremely talented and I could enhance. And that's all I ever did. I didn't have, at one point, I think when I first started, I had a lot of students and I think I did a little show with them. And then I said, "Oh, this is it. I'm just focusing on professionals." Because no matter how successful we are, we all don't know everything and we all can help each other with little inputs. So now every year I go to the Cape here in Massachusetts, and we have an entire week of master classes, and that's what I enjoy the most. And like 18 to 20 people will sign up for the whole week, and every day they'll come into the master class, and there's a few different of teachers like us, and we start. And we fine-tune them. And at the end of the week, we have a show and they perform. And I literally can sit there and see how much I instilled in them, they got, and they performed. It is the biggest joy ever. And I have to tell you, because I hear singers all the time, I just want to go like this, like with a knob, let me fix that. I don't want to just teach. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. See you next week. No. I want to fine-tune, enhance performers that have. We all have issues. We're not perfect. That's what I like to instill what I know. And maybe they can tell me something. We all can, but that's what I work on. And Liza?
How did that contact with Liza Minnelli come about, and how did you work with her?
Okay. So Billy got asked to do the Michael Jackson big show at Madison Square Garden. It was his reunion with his brothers. Liza happened to be on that show also. So after the show was over, her then, I don't know if they were married yet, David, guess, wanted Billy's outfit that he wore. He said he collects outfits. So I said, and of course, Nicholas was over the top Liza fan. He had been imitating her since he was born. So anyway, I said, "Well, David," I said, "I'll be in the city next week with the I'll pop it over to you," because Billy wouldn't wear it anymore. So Billy, me, and Nicholas went to Liza's penthouse. I thought my Nicholas was going to have a heart attack. I mean, oh my God, here he is going to Liza Minnelli's. Well, my God. So we go in there, and she's so loving and everything. So we're sitting there, and she's practicing for her up and coming Liza's back. Okay. And she started to sing Crying, that song from, Crying. That one, and Billy always sang that in his show, right? So I'm sitting next to him, and she's not doing it good, and he's hitting me, right? And I go, "Stop it." So anyway, after she finished, and she goes, "I don't know, I just have so much trouble with this." And Billy goes, "Well, Angela can help you." I went, "Stop it." I went, "What?" And she goes, "You can, you can." And I went, "Well, I don't. I mean, I could try. I mean, ugh." I didn't know what to say. I was like, oh my God. So anyway, that started it. And so I said, well, Liza, I live in Wesley. She says, well, you can come and stay here for the weekend and we'll just work, okay? And Nicholas is going, you can't say no, Nana. You can't say no. I said, okay. So I did. I packed my bags and I'd go for the week and I'd come back here because I was married now. And I said, oh dear. So I started with her and I can still see myself sitting at her piano and her standing in front of me as the most humble, humble person ever. Imagine, this is Liza Minnelli. So I said, so Liza, tell me about you. So she started telling me about her. I went, oh, no, I know about you. I'm telling you, I'm asking you about your throat. Like, what are you going through with your throat? Well, she was a mess. The poor girl, I mean, whatever was wrong with it was wrong with it. So I said, well, we're going to go to your vocal doctor and I want to hear what's going on in there. So we did. And I learned what was going on with her voice. She was pretty much in good shape, but it was all the way how she sang and what she did with it. So I started turning all that around to my technique and I instilled it in her. And her voice went from here to here. It just, and she was like one of the most attentive person I've ever met when she's learning anything. She was so focused, like very focused. So we worked together for about, I don't know, 2 months, I think. I hardly was ever back here home. I was there a lot with her and I tried to get rid of all her habits for the while, for a while anyway. Because like I said, everything you're doing, you're affecting this your vocal cords. So anyway, came time for the show. Liza's back. And I was, of course, right there with her. And I had to sit a certain seat in the front row where she could see me through the light. And as long as she could see me through the light, because I would make some kind of gestures sometimes, signals to remind her of, and Liza was back and her voice was back. And then we went to London. I traveled with her. And then she got Nicholas, because, little by little he'd come over. I never asked her for anything. Never. I wouldn't do that. All of a sudden one day she asked me, she wanted Nicholas to open for her on her tour with me on the tour with her. And I thought Nicholas was going to die. So did I mean, and she really, I guess, appreciated that of me. I never asked for anything. I just wanted to help her. And we just became really good friends. And she's just a wonderful. Oh, we used to talk about our mothers, at night after we'd hang out on in her bedroom, just hang out and talk. And we talk. She'd talk about Judy Garland. I talk about Mary Lombardo from Westerly, Rhode Island. You know what I'm saying? But we'd be talking about our mothers. It was just great. So I was able through her to work with a lot of different other people, just the fine tuning. And I get a lot of big acts that come to the Cape during that week, and I really work with them a lot. And it's a joy. It's my gift I got when I was 12.
It's very important to you to hand down what you've learned. And I'm guessing you then hope that for generations to come, those performers will hand it down again. So it doesn't just get lost in one or two generations.
No, it can't. It's, you know why? How we're built, how we're created, our voice, it doesn't change just because it becomes another century. This still stays the same, unless we do become Martians or something. I don't know. But I think as long as we stay like we are humans, that little tiny vocal cord is always going to be the same.
We will try to remain human at least for the next
I
50
know.
years. Angela, we are so rapidly running out of time. Is there somewhere online that people can come and find out more about you?
Well, I am all over YouTube. I mean, there's performances of me on YouTube, and I'm on Facebook. You can't miss me.
Can I thank you so much for your time today? I
Oh.
mean, I've found it incredibly inspirational, not just the work that you've done with Liza Minnelli, but the fact that you're working with up and coming acts right through your career. It's been absolutely
Yes.
wonderful. Come back on sometime and we'll continue a
I
conversation because
will.
I think you've got
Thank
even more
you.
stories.
Thank you, Andrew. It's been a pleasure. And all those that are listening, I say hi from my heart and hope everybody has a great day. beat.